I'm lifting your entire face. Even your own mother wouldn't recognize you.
The victim is one of us. Former Detective Inspector Frank Brandon.
We're supposed to be getting married.
He's my husband.
What's a woman like her doing with a bloke like him?
I just want to pass this geezer.
Was he with someone?
Yeah, blonde fella. Proper lurch. I told.
Fentanyl, 100 milligrams would kill you instantly.
It's Danny Petrozza.
Yeah, layard man. I'll feed that beast,
you. I've been trying to call you. I'm scared out of my mind.
I'm here.
A photo shredded.
I'm being followed. You don't understand. I'm not Saver, nor are you.
On the street outside her apartment, Julia Kendall is unloading shopping from the boot of her car. A long-haired man in a leather jacket walks by, so engrossed in texting that he almost walks into her. He apologises and walks on. Julia stares at the man, then runs after him, pushing and slapping at him. Two men in a Range Rover watch her from across the road, then pull away. Julia sees the men and stares at them. Above suspicion, deadly intent. Kelly Riley, Kieran Hines. Written by Linda LaPlante, Noel Faraga. Produced by Hugh Warren. Directed by Gillies McKinnon. In the lab, pathologist Veronica Malins calls up photos of Petrozzo's post-mortem for detectives Langton and Travis.
Mr. Petrozzo was in reasonably good health. However, death was rapid. It was like a switch had been flicked off. Pulmonary edema, renal failure, cardiac arrest, the poor man's whole body just shut down.
So, overdose?
The build-up of fluid in the lung is typical with overdose victims, yes. Blood toxicology revealed the synthetic opiate fentanyl.
That's caused by the patch over his mouth, yeah?
No, I shouldn't think so. I mean, that is designed for slow release. This was a swift and massive overdose. There is a needle mark underneath the hairline, and that's your smoking gun.
So what's the point of the patch in the first place?
I just present the facts, D.I. Travis. It's your job to interpret them.
Okay, point taken. What do you think?
To muffle the sound of his dying, there's bruising around the mouth, or your killer had the blackest of humours, perhaps. I've sent the brain in for examination, and I will have a clearer picture when I've had time to finish my report.
Okay, thanks, Veronica.
You'll need these. The victim's possessions.
Keep us posted, okay?
I certainly will, James.
I was doing some research.
Yeah?
18 months ago, a stash of pure fentanyl was stolen from a laboratory in Miami. It was worth nearly 30 million quid.
We're not in Miami, Travis.
A suspected Colombian job, right? None of it's been recovered.
So you reckon those guys have come all the way from Colombia to set up shop in some filthy squat in the Warren Estate?
Yeah, maybe. If it's as rare as Power reckons.
Well, there was one broken vial, Travis. Well, and I've been doing some checking as well. You know they had a load of thefts from A&E departments in the UK last year? Any news about that 4x4?
Forensics are combing it now. Speak of the devil. Hello, Pete. I was just talking about you. Well, it can't be Danny Petrozzo's blood. There was not a mark on him. Could it be Frank Brandon?
Well, we haven't checked yet. We're a bit backed up here at the moment. I'm still working on your rogue third bullet, before you ask. All this mud here, caked in the stuff, clay-like. Doesn't exactly look local to Hackney, if you know what I mean. Nice set of prints here, probably belonging to whoever closed the door on the dead body.
Be able to get a name for me?
As soon as I have it, Anna, it's yours.
Pete, have you told DCI Lewis all of this?
No, I haven't. Will you pass it on?
I think it might be better if you tell him.
Sure, no problem. Anna, did you get my text? About dinner?
No, I didn't. Oh, it wasn't for tonight, was it?
Well...
Oh, my phone's been playing up a lot lately.
I see. Well, you should get that fixed.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Me too.
Lewis and Power are in an interview room with Silas and his solicitor. Lewis shows a gruesome photo of Frank Brandon.
Look at this.
No, man, that's nasty, not me.
You were picked up with a gun still on you, you bloody idiot.
Detective,
you do
please.
Not have a hope in hell of walking away from this, so stop bullshitting! Your filthy prints are all over it, you little prick. You shot him in the face. Look at him!
Mike. Squeak, squeak, little piggy. Can we have 5 minutes?
Lewis strides out of the room.
The man put the wine up tight.
Joan comes over to Travis's desk.
I've been looking through this, Danny Petrozzo's diary. It's got Frank Brandon's pickup marked. It's the last entry. Godot. What do you think that means?
Someone he was waiting for?
I think you better get in there.
Why, what's wrong?
You need to protect the DCI before he does something stupid.
Right. Thanks, Sam.
Not again. Lantern and that ruddy smoke alarm. Where's my screwdriver?
Travis comes into the interview room with power.
Nice. It's right here, kitty cat.
You left a witness in the squat. Danny Petrozzo.
Well, it's desperate, you're desperate. Me and Danny tight, man.
So you drove away in the 4x4?
We're not driving none of that shit. We won't drive, eh? I bet you drive a G-Wiz, don't.
We found your friend, Danny Petrozzo, exactly where you left him, in the boot of the car.
Wait. Don't you say another word, Silas. You hear me?
First Frank Brandon, then Danny Petrozzo.
You earned some money, yeah?
Do you have any evidence linking my client to the car? Or to the murder of Mr. Petrozzo at all?
We have a witness who places your client in the squat the night of the shooting.
Petrozzo was there. He'd seen you shoot Brandon. You had to tidy that up.
No.
Yeah, you had to kill him.
No, that's not what happened.
What happened then?
Who was there, Silas? Who killed your friend?
We have you for shooting Brandon. You know that. You're going down anyway. But you cooperate with us now. Help us find out who did this. It won't go unnoticed at your trial.
Give it up, Silas. Come on. You were set up, right? Not like you to go into one of your dives in person. I mean, you got your foot soldiers to handle a small ship. This was something else, yeah? Did Petrozzo arrange something that was of interest? How much was it worth?
Silas breathes heavily, and Lewis watches him intently.
I never have nothing to do with taking out Danny. He was always scoring from me, for his customers. Brown, crack, regulars, right? A couple months ago, Danny come to me and say, you get wind of something big. You meet somebody that want to deal it fast, and we could make a bag of money.
A flashback of Eddie Court buying a rap from Petrozzo.
There you go, see you next time, son.
Petrozzo gives Silas a little bottle.
You got all of some drop dead pure. Fentanyl.
This is just the start.
I told him I didn't trust nobody who wanted big cash, and I wanted to meet him, so I'd make a deal for me to meet him.
Clean up a fortune.
Right. The door went.
That's it.
Silas pulls a gun.
No, it's okay.
Danny, it's me, Frank.
Seeing Frank's face through the small hatch in the door, Silas opens fire.
I was fucking wired, man. I just freaked.
You saw Frank Brandon. You recognised him. You knew he was ex-police.
Of course I knew him. I did 5 years down to him. I thought there was a setup. I just panicked.
He wasn't there to arrest you, Silas. He'd been retired. What was he doing there?
I don't know.
You didn't stop to ask him, did you?
Him should not come knocking.
So you're saying Petrozzo was alive when you left?
Shit, yes.
Silas leaves Petrozzo in the squat and makes his getaway down a dingy stairwell.
If you didn't kill Danny, Silas, who did? Who is the man with Brandon, Silas?
I didn't see him.
Did Petrozzo mention the name for this guy offloading the gear?
I never hung around for shit nobody, Ann. Okay, Silas, that's enough for now. You get what you want from me. But I don't grass up.
Later, Travis recalls questioning Julia Kendall.
The surname of your ex-husband?
Collingwood.
Travis types Anthony Collingwood into a search engine. At the top of the list of results is Anthony Collingwood Photography. She calls up the page, which shows a wedding photo, then tries another Anthony Collingwood on smoozeme.com. Then she sees Anthony Collingwood on a result for the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list. She She calls up the page and finds several mugshots of wanted men. She clicks on a picture of Alexander Fitzpatrick and finds a list of aliases, one of which is Anthony Collingwood. In the incident room, D.S. Baroli is on the phone.
Well, I'm sorry, Pete. Anna's a bit busy at the moment. We do have other detectives here. Might be able to help. Right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Brilliant. Yes. Okay, I'll give the message in. Pull up Julius Danton, Joan.
Julius Danton?
Yeah.
Danton.
Mean anything?
Danton.
You know him?
Yeah. Yeah, bit of possession, bit of supply. Small time, though. Why? What's he been up to?
Oh, it's his prints all over Danny Petrozza's 4x4.
Got him. Here he is.
Yeah, that's him. Julius Danton. Privately educated, father's a judge.
Joan, can you get on to chasing him, please?
Yes, will do.
He's a bit of a drug, to be honest, Anna. I mean, Danton won't even know what he's dealing with. Meaning we got some halfwit out there trying to flood the streets with fentanyl. Dealers cutting it in lethal doses. Danton couldn't organize something on this girl.
But could he be the guy who went to the drug squat with Brandon? If he was injured during the shooting, he might be lying low, right?
Yeah. But we gotta find him before he starts stealing it. If we don't, the consequences will be deadly.
Hang on a minute.
She searches Anthony Collingwood again.
Does the name Alexander Fitzpatrick mean anything to you?
Yeah, big time.
How?
Well, in the 80s, Miami and the coke trade was owned by Fitzpatrick. If he did a line back then, chances are it came from him.
Suspected of dealing with Colombian drug cartels wanted in connection with a shooting in 1981. Says the photo was taken in 1982.
Upper middle class English gentleman taking on the Colombians. And winning. He was ruthless. Even by their standards.
Two men are shot in a drug deal.
You reckon he's still alive?
No one's seen it for 20 years. Could be dead. I'll be off.
Right. Thanks, Sam.
Cheers.
Travis stares at the FBI page for Alexander Fitzpatrick. A flashback of a grey-haired man holding up his hand, a teenage boy beside him. The man and boy are in a photo.
This is your son, William. Is that his father?
Holding a briefcase, DCI Sam Power walks down a flight of stone steps towards a car park, and Travis chases after him.
Sam? Sam?
Yeah?
Could you, do something for me.
Go on.
Do you have any friends in the FBI?
I might have.
Any more details you can get on Fitzpatrick, I'd really appreciate it.
I can see what I can do. You feel like a drink? I mean, we can talk about it then.
No. I better go back and trace Danton, but thanks.
Another time then, yeah?
He strokes her arm and walks off. Langton walks past.
Is there anyone in this investigation not coming on to you?
Oh, for goodness sake. There's something I want to run by you.
Yeah, well, do it on the run. I've got a bloody press conference.
Look, I may be onto something. It might be really stupid and completely irrelevant. Just this hunch I've got about Julia Brandon's ex-husband. Do you know of Alexander Fitzpatrick?
The drug dealer. That Alexander Fitzpatrick.
You know him?
Yeah, well, I know the stories, and I read the book. Surprised you haven't.
Well, he's English, though, right?
Yes, he jumped trial here. They called him the Ghost. Moved wherever he wanted, never got caught. Still hasn't been.
Look at his aliases.
Aaron Campbell and Anthony Collingwood and Ferguson. What am I looking for?
Remember, I told you. That's the ex-husband. On the list of the 10 most wanted, Fitzpatrick's aliases are listed. Anthony Collingwood is one of them. We can't trace anything on this Anthony Collingwood. There's no birth certificate, there's no wedding certificate, there's no national insurance number, nothing.
Look, just because you can't trace a birth certificate doesn't mean he's America's most wanted. What do you get?
Travis gets out of Langton's car, then leans in through the passenger window.
The photograph I saw in her flat of her ex-husband is him. 25 years on. I'm pretty sure of it. Do you think that Frank Brandon was the love of her life?
Okay. I've got some time for this. Despite myself, I've got time for it. Don't make me regret saying that. Once I get shot of this press junket, it's time to get tough on Julia Brandon. I'll meet you there in an hour.
He drives away and Travis smiles.
Oh, come on, Paul. It can't be that hard to find with a name like Julius Danton. He's either killed Petrosa or knows who has. So pull your finger out and bring him in.
Two men barge past Langton.
Hey!
The men don't turn around and Travis takes a photo with her phone.
I didn't get a look at their faces.
Of course they know who you are. They were here. Stupid, are you?
Don't put all the blame on me, Julia. I need more time.
We don't have any fucking time.
You left your door open.
Don't you need to make an appointment or something?
That can defeat the purpose sometimes. What's happened here?
It's private. A disagreement, that's all.
A disagreement? You've been assaulted. Did he do this to you?
No.
Oh, so that's why you hired Frank Brandon for protection.
I didn't hire him. I married him.
Oh, yes, of course. You fell in love.
There's nothing illegal about falling in love, you know.
Julia totters off, and Travis follows her, leaving Langton with David Rushton in Julia's bathroom.
It's nothing. It's not what it looks like. Well, I saw those two guys. Why did they do this to you?
Looking unsteady, Julia glances away nervously.
I fell down the stairs. So now just leave me alone.
Julia and David are with Langton in the hallway.
Your previous husband was Anthony Collingwood, correct?
Travis watches.
When did you last see him?
I don't know. Maybe 10, 12 years ago.
They all follow Julia into the dining room, where she sits at the table.
Where's he living now?
America, I'm not sure. Miami? I don't know. How did he make his money? He never discussed business with me.
Travis lays a mugshot in front of her.
Is this your ex-husband, Mrs. Brandon?
David reads the printout from the FBI site.
Are you serious? FBI's most wanted. Narcotics distribution. She wasn't married to a drugs dealer, for crying out loud. Anthony was a property developer.
I make the decisions. It's what I want.
Did you know him well, Mr. Rushton?
That's not him. When I was here last, there was a photograph of Mr. Collingwood. What of it?
Well, can we see it?
No. I don't have it. You have a sister who lives in Buckinghamshire near Marlow, is that correct? Helga Nolan?
Julia!
I wouldn't know. She might be there.
They all look round at the phone, but Julia shows no intention of answering it.
Julia. 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 Pick up the fucking phone.
Look, I'm sorry. I think I'm gonna be sick.
Julia lurches out and Langton and Travis exchange glances.
Caller left a message.
Yeah, but I couldn't trace it. He just kept saying her name over and over, and then she threw up.
Yes! Yes! Got him. Sorry. Julia Stanton, the guy whose fingerprints were all over the 4x4. Well, he's changed addresses more times than I've had hot dinners. But it turns out he's married. I've got an address for Sadie Danton, Islington.
Anyone home? Sadie!
Sorry about the mess. Still moving in.
Yes, it was a little tricky to find you.
Actually, it's your husband that we've come to see. Is he here?
No, I haven't seen him for a week or so. Jules dabbles in antiques. He's always gadding off to fairs and second-hand shops. He has a lockup full of junk that he thinks will turn out suddenly to be worth a fortune. I always seem to end up paying for it, though.
Does he drive?
Baroli looks at Sadie.
He has an old post office van he uses to move his stuff.
Do you know this man, Danny Petrozzo?
No.
What about him? Silas Roach?
No.
You haven't seen your husband with these men or heard him talk about them?
No, sorry. I've learned to keep jewels at arm's length, if you know what I mean.
What about Anthony Collingwood?
No, no, not him either.
What about this man, Alexander Fitzpatrick?
What is all this about?
This is a very serious matter, I'm afraid.
Look, we just need to speak to your husband. He can help us with our inquiries, that's all. This, is this antiques auction something your husband would go to?
He may have, I don't know. Probably, yes.
Can I take it?
Yes, of course. Look, I just want you to know that for all his faults, Jules is a really sweet guy. Naive.
Oh, well, if he managed to make contact, just do let us know. It's in everyone's best interest.
Thank you.
What planet is she on?
Travis and Baroli leave, and Sadie walks down a short flight of stairs to a downstairs toilet.
It's all right. They've gone.
She opens the door to Julius.
Oh, Jules, what have you done this time?
A flashback of Julius opening the tailgate of the Nissan pickup truck and looking down at Petrozzo's body lying inside. Langton sits alone at the table in the canteen as Travis comes over with a lunch of sandwiches and tea.
I'm thinking, since Patrick's been dormant too long, why would he suddenly come out of hiding? Why would he risk it?
Money.
No. He's made loads of it, millions.
Perhaps for his son.
We're presuming he's even still alive. You know, be at the top of that game, you either kill or be killed. Oh, this flyer for Bourne End, you pinned on the board. Found that at Danton's house, right? What's the connection?
Julia Brandon's sister lives really near there, Helga Nolan.
I want to interview her in the morning. You can drive.
But it's Saturday.
I'll buy us lunch. Get us some mustard, will you?
He eats one of her sandwiches. Travis gets up and walks across the canteen. Langton looks pensive and thoughtful. Travis drives a black 4x4 along a bumpy woodland roadway. Beside her, Langton holds a map.
In 500 yards, turn right.
Oh, shut up.
Look, I don't think this place is on the map.
No, just keep going. There should be a fork coming up.
In 200 yards, turn right.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
No, we went left before.
What? No, you took the right. The left's the right one. Hey, mind the ditch.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Turn right.
They turn left onto a track.
Recalculate.
What do you want me to do?
Just go back.
I can't go back. I'm not going to reverse or upfield.
That's it. That's the farm.
They drive along a muddy driveway to a farmyard. They park, and Travis steps out into a puddle in her little high-heeled shoes. She puts on a jacket, and Langton lights a cigarette as they walk towards the farm buildings. A blonde woman wearing work clothes comes out of one of the outbuildings and sees them.
Hey there, won't be a minute.
The woman locks the outbuilding door.
Hey, I'm Helga Nolan.
D.I. Travis, and this is...
James Langton, Detective Chief Superintendent. Oh,
very formal. Well, come inside and make us some tea.
Good timing, actually.
I was just about to take scones out of the oven, then I heard a squawk and I ran to check the chickens. Those bastard foxes still managed to get in, sometimes even in broad daylight. Oh, so I spoke to PC Daly about the community project just yesterday. I didn't think he would be here so soon.
We're from the Metropolitan Police.
Oh?
Langton and Travis sit in the kitchen as the woman, Helga Nolan, takes scones out of the oven.
Oh, you will have some, won't you?
Yes, thank you.
We've been speaking with your sister.
My sister?
Julia.
I know my sister's name, Detective.
It's regarding her husband.
My sister isn't married, she's divorced.
Well, she remarried, actually. And I'm afraid to tell you that he's been murdered.
Murdered?
His name is Frank Brandon.
You never met him?
No. No, no, I haven't. Do a chicken nugget, you know?
Yes, please.
Helga takes away a full ashtray.
There's no point in hiding the fact that we don't exactly get on, Julia and I. Not that we don't love each other. Of course we do, deep down. It's just that we have very different outlooks on life. Well, you met my sister. You can see for yourself how different we are.
She brings over a jar of jam.
This is my homemade plum.
Have you ever heard of this man, Alexander Fitzpatrick?
I don't think so.
What can you tell me about her ex-husband, Anthony Collingwood? Can I help you?
No, it's hot, obviously. What about her ex-husband? I know she cared about him. Or rather, she liked the lifestyle he provided for her. He was very wealthy, apparently.
Do you know how they met?
I have no idea, sweetie. As I said, we were and are very different creatures. I can't stand it in London, and she hates it here.
These are delicious.
Oh, please, try my jam.
There's a wonderful spot here. Very hard to find.
We don't get many ramblers, thank God.
I mean, if you didn't actually know where the place was, you'd never find it. Do you own it or rent?
Actually, it belongs to my husband's mother, and it needs a lot of work. Yeah. And we do rent out some of the fields to local farmers.
Must be worth a bob or two.
Possibly.
Does your husband work on the farm?
Damien? Oh, no. He's a professor of biochemistry at Oxford.
What time will he be home?
Well, it depends. Sometimes his lectures can run on quite late, so he stays over with friends.
A tall man in a suit and straw hat walks across the farmyard.
Have you ever seen or heard of this man, Daniel Petrozzo?
No.
What about him, Julius Danton?
Afraid not. Sorry, should I?
Sorry, I have a phone call. Do you mind if I take it?
Of course not.
So you haven't seen either of them in the town or around the farm?
I'm fully aware of who's on my land and who's not, and I've never seen either of them.
The tall man walks towards the house. Inside, Travis pretends to be on her phone in another room.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much.
She glances up a flight of stairs as she walks past them. Unseen behind her, the tall, lean man comes into the house. Travis looks through some small drawers and finds some medals on green and white ribbons. On top of the chest of drawers is a framed black and white photo of Helga and another framed photo of a small private plane. Travis picks the photo up and looks carefully at the plane.
Well, intruders aren't what they used to be.
She drops the picture and the man walks over.
Hello, I'm Damien Nolan. With whom do I have the pleasure?
Sorry?
I live here. What's your name?
Anna, Detective Inspector Anna Travis.
I won't tell, Detective.
He takes the broken picture from her.
Sorry.
The FBI page on Fitzpatrick. Travis comes into Helga's kitchen with Damien.
It's all rather intriguing. Of course, very sad to hear about Julia's husband.
So you never met Mr. Brandon either?
Oh, good heavens, no. I'm sure Helga has told you that our familial relationship with Julia is merely a notional one.
Have you been to London recently, Mr. Nolan?
As a matter of fact, I have. I'm on a book tour. Yeah. A copy for you, Detective.
Biotransfers in organic chemistry. You'll enjoy that, Travis. DCS Langton. Not exactly holiday reading, is it?
Even biochemists go on holiday.
Do you know this man? Alexander Fitzpatrick.
Do you know who D.I. Travis is referring to, Mr. Nolan?
Yes, the drug chap.
Alexander Fitzpatrick. Do you know him?
Do I know him, Matt? Do I know him? Well, I know of him, of course. I mean, anyone of my generation would be somewhat aware of who he was.
But you never met him, did you?
No. It's the stuff of urban myth, isn't he, detectives? The sort of Howard Marks character. Though, if memory serves me, Howard Marks was caught. Fitzpatrick wasn't. He escaped during his trial, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
So, you never saw Julia with him?
No. Julia wouldn't have the faintest idea who he is, or rather was.
Well, I don't think we have much more to tell you, so...
Well, thank you both for your time. May I just get my bag?
Call again if you need anything. And don't forget your book, Anna. Oh, thank you very much.
Langton and Travis walk back to the car.
Nice couple.
Yeah, too nice.
Should have gone beside that book for you. Sell it me be.
Travis takes a tissue from her pocket and wipes mud off the tyre. A flashback to the vehicle section.
All this mud here. Caked in the stuff, clay line. Doesn't exactly look local to Hackney.
Came all the way out here for some mud, did we?
Yeah. That and some hot scone. I know this is going to sound like I'm obsessed. I thought he was Fitzpatrick for a second.
Why'd you think that?
I don't know, it was just a feeling.
For 25 years on, who knows what he'd look like?
He gave me heart failure when he walked in on me.
She could make mine flutter.
Yeah, well, I reckon she's a lot older than her sister. Hey, look at that. That's an old post office van. Julius Danton's wife said that he had an old post office van.
Go on then. If he's in it, give me a shout. And mind the nettles.
Travis carefully walks through the long nettles to the van.
Hey, Sam, did you get the result from the FBI yet?
Treading gingerly, she paces through the nettles and perches her sunglasses on top of her ginger hair. Travis makes it to the post van and peers through the open driver's window. The driver's door's a bit stiff, but she manages to open it.
It's empty.
In his office, David Rushton presses a button on his phone.
Well, that's fine, Jess.
Thank you. You can click off now. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
His dark-haired secretary smiles through the window at him and leaves. David presses keys on his computer, calling up balance sheets on the screen. One of them gives a final figure as £4.5 million. Lift doors open, and a tall man wearing black trousers, thick black anorak and black baseball cap steps out into a corridor. In his office, David hears something and looks up.
Hello?
He gets out of his large leather chair and strolls over to the lift. The lift doors close. Up ahead, a cleaning lady pushes a trolley across the corridor. David walks back towards his office. The tall, lean man in the black cap skulks down the corridor. The cleaner pushes the trolley away from David's office. David opens a bottle of whiskey, pours some into a glass, and tips some pills into the palm of his hand. He swallows the pills and washes them down with the whiskey. The man in the cap paces down the corridor and walks past David's office window. David looks up from his computer.
Hello, David.
Travis knocks on Langton's office door.
Go in.
Right, well, I'm off home. Found some calamine lotion, but bloody nettles. Look at my legs.
Be my pleasure.
Sit down. Sit down. Let me hear this. Sam here has been checking with a contact in the FBI.
12 months ago outside Miami, drunk driver goes clean through a red light, smacks into the back of another car. Bang.
Squad car pulls up.
The other driver refuses an ambulance.
He gives his name as Andrew Ferguson.
Wait, why does that name ring a bell?
Also known as...
Oh, don't tease me.
Alexander Fitzpatrick.
No way.
Oh, yes. He's sitting in his car,
Gets breathalyzed, hands over his license, very polite and accommodating.
Yeah, they run his license to roadside and discover it's a fake.
Yeah, it's just two regular cops. They've got one drunk driver and now they're suspicious of the other guy. But just as they approach, Fitzpatrick roars off.
They don't exactly like to brag about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but when he blew into the tube, he left some saliva.
Drew up a DNA profile.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, this is the best bit. That DNA profile is still on file.
Well, what does that mean?
Fitzpatrick's DNA. They still have it in Virginia. We can match it against the blood in Pedroso's car.
So, they are sending it over. Thank you. And good night. Unless you feel for a drink, huh?
No, thanks. Thank you.
See
ya. All right, Sam.
So what, they're just sending it over, just like that?
Well, no, not just like that. I'm not bloody Tommy Cooper. But when it comes, we can get your boyfriend in forensics to compare it, and then, heaven forbid, you might be proved right.
Yeah, or wrong.
Well, oh, come on. That's not the attitude. Anna, listen to your instinct. You're your father's daughter, right? You're a detective in your bones. Now, that hunch of yours about Fitzpatrick, don't let it go so easily.
What do you mean?
Nothing is ever as it seems. Right? There's no such thing as normal. Something looks perfect, you need to scratch beneath the surface. People rarely say what they truly think. Or feel.
He holds her hand and she looks uncomfortable. Travis gets up from her chair and walks out of the office as Langton answers his mobile.
What is it, Mike?
DCI Lewis is already in David Rushton's office as Langton comes in.
He's in it. Security found him.
They stare down at David, who lies slumped over his desk, his eyes open and glassy, and a square fentanyl patch stuck over his mouth.
David, it's me again. Would you call me back? David, it's important. I really need to speak to you.
Well, he obviously didn't. Do we know when he was last seen alive?
The secretary left at 5. Didn't say anything unusual or suspicious.
Lewis paces.
This hunch you've got about Fitzgerald's involvement...
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick?
His name's Alexander Fitzpatrick. Well, I've got nothing yet to prove that he's involved, but... I'm hoping Pete's going to help me out with that. Have we had that DNA profile back yet?
Yes, I did. From the FBI, no less.
Well, is it a match to the blood swipe from the 4x4?
Give me time. I just got called out for this.
Well, that's not going to be any use to us. But there are more security cameras in the corridors and the front entrance.
Well, we should get it checked out for prints, though.
Why?
It's turned to face the wall.
Lewis looks flustered and overwrought.
Yeah, get the footage sent over to the incident room ASAP.
Lewis pulls his mobile from the inside pocket of his jacket and reads a text.
Langton's bringing in Julia Brandon.
Right, well, I'll see you over there then.
Actually, no, there's something I've got to do, so...
He gives Travis a questioning look and she turns away. Lewis walks out of the office. In the police incident room...
No, you've got the wrong department. No.
3 dead, Frank Brandon, Danny Petroza, and now...
David Rushton, the body count's mounting. And then we've got Julius Danton still missing. Joan, is there an update on Julius Danton yet?
TV appeal went out again last night, but there's no trace so far. Could you please repeat your name and what connection this inquiry is?
All of them linked by fentanyl, either dead by it or dealing it.
Travis, I want you with me for Julia Brandon. We had the CCTV from Rushton's office yet.
No, not yet.
Where the hell is it?
I've got a woman on the phone, so she saw Danton last night, pub in Kilburn.
All right, let me speak to her.
Travis!
All right, just get the information and don't forget to tell Mike.
Has anyone seen him?
So, you were married to Anthony Collingwood. Tell me about him.
We're divorced. There's nothing to tell.
Vi hade haft ett spårman för.
Fint. Så behöver du inte se mer om det.
God.
I haven't seen him for years, and I have no idea where he is.
Where did you get married?
On board his yacht.
And you had a happy life with him?
I had a fantastic life with him. Houses around the world. St. Lucia, Monaco, Manhattan. Private planes, yachts.
Yeah, the life that people dream of.
Sorry. What was Mr. Rushton's part in all of this?
Well, Anthony advised me to stay with him after the divorce. He looks after all our, well, all my finances. Anything I need, he arranges it. Basically, all I really need is my PIN number.
David Rushton's body was discovered in his office on Saturday.
A photo.
Oh, my God.
Julia looks shocked and horrified, and Travis watches her reactions closely. Langton shows her pictures of the other two murders.
Your second husband of just a few months. His boss. And your trusted financial advisor.
I had nothing to do with their deaths. I wasn't involved.
Look at this photograph. You know who this is.
The mugshot of Fitzpatrick. The photo of the older man and boy is shredded. The plastic surgery operation.
Alexander Fitzpatrick, so where is he?
I don't know.
You were married to one of the biggest drug dealers that the world has ever known, and you're telling me you don't know about it.
I swear, on my son's life, I didn't know how he made his money. David handled everything. He handled his finances, school fees. He handled me, whatever I wanted. I just went along with it. I did whatever I was told to do.
What did he tell you to do, Julia?
Vil du gerne have det her hold op?
Yeah.
I'd like to speak with Mrs. Brendan in private. There are no charges against my client. She's here assisting your inquiries.
You are involved here. That much is clear. You've already had one warning from your Colombian visitors, who are obviously here looking for Fitzpatrick. David Rushton couldn't protect you, could he? He's dead. You could be next. You would be safer telling us the truth.
Langton and Travis walk out of the interview room, leaving Julia looking shell-shocked. Travis and Langton talk in a corridor.
I only need my PIN number.
The reality is we've got no evidence against her and a solicitor knows it.
I've got something for you to see.
At last. Run a few rings round her. She's got more to tell us. So what's been the hold-up with all this?
There's a digital transfer problem.
Great. What the hell are you doing down here?
The instrument was packed. I needed the cable leads.
Go on.
This is the camera from the main entrance reception to Rushton's office. It's an old system, so the quality's not great.
Terrific.
Okay, this is Rushton's secretary leaving. Then, nothing for a bit. Goes on like this for a while. A lot of empty footage.
Is that it?
No, wait. And here he comes.
Okay.
Langton watches the man with the baseball cap walking up the corridor. The peak is pulled down over his eyes.
Oh, this is useless, Paul. We can't see his bloody face.
Wait. Okay, and in a moment, we pick him up again inside Rushton's office.
You married, Paul?
No.
Got a girlfriend?
Nope. Why, you want a date?
You might get one if you start using deodorant.
And in he comes. Switch to the office camera.
David stands as the intruder walks in.
Come on, turn around. Yes.
The intruder turns and reaches up to the camera, his hand obscuring his face.
He's turned the bloody camera.
Forensics found finger marks left in the dust of the camera, but not a single identifiable print.
How's that possible? It wasn't wearing gloves. Take it back to the point where he turns to the camera.
Hold it there. Is that him? Is that Fitzpatrick?
ITFC audio description. Next time.
He's trying to flood this country with drugs, never mind killing anyone who stands in his way.
You will never catch him. He's been 10 steps ahead of you the whole time.
He's got the bloody fentanyl!
Take it easy.
Where are the bloody drugs? Get what I think you're doing!
I'll stop you from killing yourself!
Obelix, stay where you are!
I want to tell the truth.
Don't want any of this leaving this room. That understood?